Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus has never spoken a word in vain. Jesus never shot from the hip or said things thoughtlessly. There's always a purpose behind what our Lord says. This is also true for the parables that our Lord taught during his earthly ministry. And oftentimes the holy evangelists will tell us exactly what prompted Jesus to tell the parable that he does. Today in our gospel lesson, St. Luke tells us why Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated other people with contempt. He told this parable to those who took righteousness seriously. It was something they thought about. They looked at their life, they looked at their behavior, and then they looked at the lives and behavior of those around them. And upon evaluating both, they had convinced themselves or persuaded themselves that yes, they were in fact righteous. And all the rest, well, not so much. And this moves Jesus to tell today's parable. Why? What was so troublesome about trusting in oneself that you are righteous? The issue is that when you convince yourself of your own righteousness, you are refusing to be convinced by God. When you evaluate your own righteousness by the standard you set up, even by comparing yourself with other sinners, then you are rejecting the perfect standard that God has established in his holy law that is in the Ten Commandments. And this has been the case from the very first sin. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to this very day, we human beings find it far easier to trust in ourselves than to trust God. We are more easily persuaded by our reason and our observation, more readily convinced by our feelings and emotions than we are by what God has spoken to us in his word. When it comes to right and wrong, we think the measure is good intentions, or relationships, or simple open-mindedness, rather than the Ten Commandments. When it comes to righteousness and judgment, we think that guilt and innocence are a matter of feeling, matter of emotion, rather than what God has declared. And what's more, those who convince themselves of their own righteousness by their works or intentions or relationships will almost certainly do so by comparing themselves with other people. And that means, by necessity, despising other people, treating them with contempt. Because if I'm going to find myself righteous by my own standard, by my own works, then I don't really need to be exceptionally good. I don't need to be the best of all. I just need to be better than most. Better than that guy over there. How common this is. You hear this? Perhaps you've even thought or said this yourself. I work an honest living, unlike those corporate fat cats who make millions off the backs of the little guys. I always keep my word. I'm not like those lying cheats in Washington. I've always been faithful to my spouse, unlike those Hollywood elites, and we won't even say what they do. I am not like those extortioners, unjust, or adulterers. I must be righteous because I'm better than those despicable sinners. That was basically the prayer of the Pharisee in Jesus' parable today. He prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now again, this is not a man who was apathetic toward righteousness. This was a man who took good works seriously. So seriously, in fact, that he went above and beyond what was demanded of him in God's law. He didn't just fast once a week, he fasted twice a week. He didn't just give a tenth of his income, he gave a tenth of all his possessions. And having done that, he looked around at his neighbors, his family members, those in the community. Yes, even his fellow worshipers that day in the temple, namely the tax collector, standing far off, and he saw all those times that they had robbed from their neighbors, that they had been unjust in their business dealings, that they had been unfaithful to their spouses, all those times that they had defrauded others in order to appease the Roman oppressors, and perhaps even lined their own pockets dishonestly. And yeah, by comparison, that Pharisee was righteous. That Pharisee had done better. Now Jesus tells us that this Pharisee, in praying this prayer in the temple, stood by himself. And Jesus isn't only speaking of a physical location in the temple. There's a theological point that Jesus makes here. He truly stood by himself, that is, separate from all other men, because the Pharisee refused to confess himself to be a poor, miserable sinner like every other man is. But even worse, the Pharisee stood by himself apart from God, because he refused to stand under God and under his word. He looked at his life, he looked at his behavior, he looked at the lives and behavior of other people, but never once did he consider what God said. Never once did he consider what God expected. But God is clear. We find countless declarations of the Lord rejecting our own righteousness by works. Psalm 14, all have turned aside, they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Isaiah 64, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Furthermore, in measuring himself against sinners in order to establish his own righteousness, the Pharisee rejected that measurement, that standard that Jesus sets up, the only standard that counts. For he says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, had the Pharisee done this, had he stood with God by standing with other sinners, had he truly submitted himself and his works under God and his law, then he would have acknowledged that even his most holy deeds were stained by sin. He would have considered himself to be no better than any other man, and certainly nowhere close, not even in the same region, as the perfect holiness that God himself possesses and demands. He would have, like that tax collector, confessed himself to be a sinner. And perhaps then, having confessed himself to be a sinner, he would have also remembered the very purpose of that temple in which he stood by himself, to be the place of sacrifice, of atonement, of reconciliation. But he did not. He trusted in himself that he was righteous, which means he didn't trust in God. He didn't see any reason to ask anything of God. Again, note his prayer. There's no request. There's no confession. There's no plea for mercy. Instead, he simply goes before God to brag about himself, and again, to despise others. Again, Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And in the Pharisee, Jesus identifies the problem with that. And it's not the works. The works are good. Fasting is certainly fine outward training. Giving 10% of all that you possess is a wonderful work. But apart from faith, these works are polluted, they're corrupt, they're sinful. The problem with the Pharisee, the problem with those who trusted in themselves was not their works, it was their faith or their lack thereof. For they trusted in themselves and not in God. But then Jesus gets to the next figure in the parable, the tax collector. And Jesus says, this tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This was a man who did not trust in himself at all. This was a man who couldn't even dare to persuade himself or convince himself of his own righteousness. And that's why he stood off, beating his breast, eyes downcast, physically manifesting the internal contrition that is the sorrow over his sin. God's word, God's law, had done its work in this tax collector. God had convinced this poor man that he was indeed sinful and unclean. And having been convinced of his sin, the tax collector didn't dare compare himself to anyone else, not to the Pharisee, not to extortioners, not to the unjust, not to adulterers. He didn't despise anybody else. He didn't treat anyone else with contempt. He didn't catalog the good deeds that he had done in order to try to balance the scales. The tax collector simply stood before God and confessed, that is, spoke what God had spoken first to him, that he was a sinner, that he deserved nothing but God's temporal and eternal punishment. Now again, this parable is very similar to what we ourselves are doing today. Two men went up into the temple to pray. You have come to God's house this morning. You have come to pray, to hear the word of God, to receive the sacrament of the altar. And as you have come out in the world, perhaps even in that very pew, the devil, the world, and even your own sinful flesh are constantly tempting you to do what those people did long ago, to trust in yourself that you are righteous, to treat others with contempt, to establish your own holiness on the basis of your works over and against the works of other people. Every time you look at the sins of other people and feel a little bit better about yourself, you are acting just like the Pharisee and just like those to whom Jesus first told this parable. Whatever their sins may be, as wicked as the acts of other people may be, if you are using those acts to prop yourself up before God, then you are wrong. You need to stop. You need to repent. No longer convince yourself that you are righteous in your works. Listen to God. Be persuaded by Him. This is what He says. If you say you have fellowship with God while you walk in darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar and His word is not in you. Do not stand on your own righteousness before God. But instead, like the tax collector, stand under God. Stand under His word. Admit your guilt. Recognize that you are a sinner. For one can only be saved by faith alone when he first knows the depth of his sin and the deadly consequences of the same. But Jesus doesn't end the parable with the tax collector admitting his guilt. Jesus says that this tax collector went home justified, that is, righteous in God's sight. Because this tax collector, in his true repentance, not only felt sorry for his sins, he also trusted in God. He had true saving faith. And this also is seen in his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He stood before God admitting his guilt, but also trusting that God is merciful and gracious, that he shows compassion towards sinners. And he knew this also on the basis of God's word. Yes, God declares that all have sinned, but God also declares that his mercy is for all. In Psalm 65, God declares that he atones for transgressions when iniquities prevail. In Psalm 78, God, being compassionate, atoned for Israel's iniquity and did not destroy them. And God promised in Psalm 50, which we ourselves sang today, that God would deliver the one who called upon him in the day of trouble. The tax collector truly repented. He was sorry for his sin, but he also had faith. Faith that God would be merciful to him, a sinner. This is a bold prayer indeed, that God would show mercy, not judgment, to a poor sinful being, that God would atone for the sins of the guilty rather than condemn. But the tax collector was bold to pray this because he had been convinced by the word of God. Again, this should be identifiable for you. For as you have come into God's house this morning, you prayed at the beginning that you are a poor, miserable sinner without excuse. Sure, you have many good works to which you could point. And yes, there are countless other sinners out there in the world that you could identify as worse off than you. But when you entered this house, you acknowledged, I am a poor, sinful being. But even more than that, in that same confession, you prayed that God would be gracious and merciful to you. Why? For the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. You have been convinced by God in his word that he loves you and that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you, to make atonement for your sins and the sins of the whole world. This is the gospel, the good news, the same good news that the Apostle Paul preached to the Corinthians, as we heard also this morning. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. This is the gospel of which the tax collector was certain, convinced, persuaded, trusted, that Christ died for his sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And this is the same gospel that convinces you that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, lived and died for you, for your atonement, for your reconciliation to God, for the forgiveness of all of your sins, for your deliverance in the day of trouble. Now, as I said a little bit earlier, true knowledge and confession of sin and the consequence of the same, temporal and eternal punishment, is necessary for saving faith. And that's why the whole counsel of God is both law and gospel, that word that condemns us as sinners and that word that justifies us as righteous. This is preached to you in the word here from this pulpit, that you might be convinced that you are a sinner like the tax collector, but that you are justified just as Jesus has said. And so the scripture teaches, if we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. As you come to God's house this morning, be convinced by what God says to you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and this includes you, but are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith, and this is you too. So receive it by faith. Again, Jesus says that this tax collector, having been convinced by God in his law that he was a sinner, but in the gospel that he was forgiven, this tax collector went back to his house justified, truly declared righteous by God, rather than the Pharisee who tried to declare his own righteousness before God and failed. In other words, the tax collector truly received what the Pharisee thought he had, righteousness in God's favor. You likewise, when you come to this house of God, confessing your sins and believing in that word of absolution, believing in the word of the gospel, believing that Jesus' body and blood is for you for the forgiveness of sins, you have exactly that which you believe. Forgiveness, life, salvation, justification in the eyes of God. And of course, this will most certainly impact how you look at other sinners around you. Not despising them, not treating them with contempt, but with the same mercy that you have been shown. Forgiving those who have trespassed against you, not condoning their sin or approving it, but rather calling them to repent and believe with you, leading them to this same house where they too might be convinced of God and truly declared to be righteous. Again, Jesus speaks no vain words. No words without a purpose. He told our parable today to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt, that they might trust in him alone and receive his mercy. This is why Jesus concludes, "Everyone who has exalted himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And this is our Lord Jesus himself. For our Lord humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, for you, for the sins of the world, that all might receive forgiveness. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that name given among men whereby we must be saved. Trust in his name. And you who humble yourself daily in repentance will be exalted in that word of absolution, declared to be a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven, having a resurrection like his, even unto everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.